You are listening to the Women's Music Program, Women's Voices, Women's Song, on 103.3 KUMD, the Duluth Alternative. And time now for the interview that we are having here today with Ione Tomasetti and Laureen Couture. And they are two amazing women in rock and roll in Minnesota, and I am so happy to have them in the studio today. Hello, Laureen. Hello, Ione.
Hi, how are you? Nice to be here.
Hi there.
Nice to be here, too. I'm so glad to have you here. Let's just start with, Ione, you were in the band The Renowns from up on the Iron Range, and Laureen, you were in Hostage, among many other bands, the current one, Legacy, and everything. And so let's talk about both of you, women in rock and roll.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a busy life. It's been a great life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Since 1955, I still have the band going, and we're still doing gigs all over, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. How about you?
I totally agree, and I am honored to be in your presence. I learned a lot about you out in the hallway. Kind of like every gig we've ever done, there's all the stuff that's good happens
that
in the hallway.
That can be good, bad, and indifferent, by the way.
My band is Legacy now, but she is a legacy. So, and some of the stories, and that's what it's all about. And we are women, mm-hmm. and we are in rock, and she, more than me, I'm the 80s. She's decades before that, and I mean, really put the groundwork in so that people like me could have a chance or be taken seriously. So, Ione, you know, tell a few stories. Tell about your beginnings, and then I'll shoot right in after you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I first started, we needed a bass player, and I'd been playing guitar all my life and everything, so I had to really make a transition. I bought a 1958 Fender jazz bass, and that I still play on today. But I'll tell you, there weren't any women bass players. There was no such thing, and very few women that were entertainers. They were mostly male bands.
Exactly, and my first event was the cutest guys in the school, four of them, knocked on the door when I was 16 and said, "You want to be a keyboard player in our band?" And I said, "Dad, can you buy me a keyboard, like, now, please? For the love of God." And so we formed Dead on Arrival.
Okay.
And
okay,
it was, I was just like, okay, this is fun.
This is fun, yeah.
This is great. And I learned how to respect men, cover your eyes when you have to, and do your part.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
do good music.
Yeah. And that's what we still do today.
I'm sorry. I married the guitar player.
And I did too.
So that's kind of women in rock, too. We kind of fall for somebody.
Yeah.
Being in rock, Ione and Laureen, your first professional gig, could you talk some to that?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what. The first professional gig, and I will call it professional, was at a little community township hall. And we had the place packed. And it was so fun. Packed, in that sense, meant maybe 125 people.
Okay.
Wow. We each made $10 a piece.
Wow.
For the night.
Wow.
But I've never had so much fun in my whole life.
Yeah. Maybe before Hostage, it would have been the arena in Deer River. And then we did lead in for Nugent at the Deck and
things like
that. You know,
wow.
Pat Travers got sick, so who are you going to call? You know?
Yeah.
And we had an album out at the time.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Casablanca, there was, on every corner in Duluth and Superior was a bar.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And Woodman Hall.
Oh, sure. And Monday
Woodman
through Fridays.
Hall.
You know,
oh,
you played
gosh.
More than one night.
We
didn't
used to play. Oh, yes.
You were in there.
So,
oh,
Laureen,
yes.
you play more than one night in
back
Duluth.
In the 80s,
yeah,
it was,
yeah. Oh, and
I can only
true.
Speak
yeah.
to that, was Monday.
Wednesday, Friday,
oh, yeah.
Saturday,
yeah.
For
Monday
sure.
Through Friday, or Monday through Saturday,
oh,
or
yeah.
Tuesday through Sunday.
Wow.
And then we did, like, St. Paul Winter Carnival,
and
different things like that. Went to Rice Lake, played for their great big celebrations, and, oh, my gosh, it was just
always
fun.
Working.
Always.
You could make a living in music. in those days.
Yes, well, you could.
And then it went to, you know, as we watched our band progress, it was Wednesday through Saturday, then just Friday, Saturday, yeah. and then just Saturday. And then, we're, you know, by then we had kind of faded out of the scene deliberately.
Why not every night? What happened? What was the...
Oh, it's not that we weren't willing to do it. Clubs changed.
And okay. Yeah.
Insurance on lawsuits and the price of liquor and just
definitely.
Paying for a band. And
paying
some
for bands, is the
sure.
same thing today.
And
I mean,
a lot of, like right now, time. You'll find a stage with four or five bands for the night on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they play for drinks and a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
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 And well, okay. we haven't knuckled under to that yet.
No. Speak for yourself, Ione. I think I'll play for a ham sandwich.
So, Ione, I had read in your bio and everything that I had read in your bio that that you got to play the Winter Carnival after recording down in Chicago and everything.
Oh yes, and it was just really fun. In fact, we were a backup for Dave Dudley down there mm-hmm. too. Dave Dudley was there at the same time, so that was quite a treat. Mm-hmm. And then they took us all to the supper club and everything
yeah, yeah.
else,
okay.
and went out
okay.
to the golf course, and we had just a great time. It was, and we were there mm-hmm. for the parade, mm-hmm. St.
Yeah.
Paul Winter Carnival yeah. parade. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
awesome.
All right. So let's see here. Let's talk about your songs and everything like that. My Mind's Made Up. How you almost did not get a gig on the Ed Sullivan Show, and also Loreen Making My Move. Your songs and everything.
Oh man, I'll tell you, when My Mind's Made Up came out, and they were sending out 100,000 copies of that on airplanes. Well, the person that was the manager at that time of a certain radio station that was promoting this particular event, anyway, he had left the country and gone to the state of West Virginia, mm-hmm. and we could not get a hold of him. Well, Jack Gold from MGM Records called, and he said, Ione, I'm trying like crazy to cut a deal with your manager. And he was supposed to be a manager in kind. He wasn't yeah. really a hired manager, but we had to have a manager in order to go to Chicago to cut the record.
Okay.
So anyway, I said, I've been trying to get a hold of him. I've been sending him certified mail and everything. Nothing mm-hmm. comes back, so mm-hmm. I know he gets it. Mm-hmm. And he says, I've offered him $10,000 for your contract, but he won't even take that.
Okay.
So anyway, we never received a dime from the recording, by the way. All of these records that went out and everything was supposed to be like 3% or whatever mm-hmm. it is on there. Nothing. But
wow.
but we sure had fun.
It all comes down to that.
Yeah.
Or we wouldn't have this kind of longevity, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
We found our niche because it was always fun.
Yeah. yeah.
And it really was. I can't say, and men were great, contrary yeah. to what you think. You had yeah. some club owners and that. But yeah. Making My Move, according to what I heard about it, mm-hmm. this was one of the songs on our four-song EP,
mm-hmm.
came in second in the Midwest behind yeah. Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical. So,
yeah.
you know, you can't compete with that. But, yeah, you do as much as you can. And then we were on Solid Gold.
Oh.
And, you know, that was a Friday night show. I remember playing up on the range.
Yeah.
At Norman's,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
everybody in the crowd, there's 600-some people,
yeah.
and they start screaming, mm-hmm. and we are on Solid Gold, our video. We had one of the first videos back,
yeah.
see, when MTV started, we had one of the first videos on there for Making My Move.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going, what the heck do you mean we're not actually going to be singing it? And the drummer's going to be playing with a phone in his hand. I didn't get the concept of the
yeah.
video doesn't have to be drumsticks. It can be avant-garde.
yeah.
Like, this isn't going to fly.
who was your director on that video?
Dennis Cosgrove. And then it was Pat, what was his name? Pat Kelly.
Oh,
we
okay.
did a show with Pat Kelly, okay. and they had us live on Channel 3.
Okay.
And then we did a live simulcast on KQDS.
Okay.
And Eric Gatton was running the sound for us. He did a great job.
Yeah.
So we were like poised to launch, and then we had our great big fire in 1984 in Superior, wiped out everything, and then we hit the road in a different incarnation, because that's what you do, and I know
that's
you know
what
that.
You do.
You lose a member, you mm-hmm. skin a knee, you get, you. Here we go. Somebody breaks an arm and quits
yeah.
or moves to California, you just keep going.
Yeah,
I'm sure
you
kept
do.
Going.
Oh,
what
we've
are the changes
had many,
for,
many you different.
And now you say you're with the same drummer
but
for all
I've
this time?
Had my guy, same drummer. We've been together since we were 15 years old.
Speaking of drummers, our trailer is in our driveway with our drummer's gear still in it. So we ain't done yet, okay?
Yeah. No, hostage loose! Nor are we.
How about some road stories? We were out in the lobby talking about, you got some favorite road stories?
Go ahead.
All right.
I'll let you go first.
Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick drank all my beer in the dressing room. I was mad at him. Paul Stanley from Kiss is up in the hallway. I'm getting Diet Coke for my vodka Diet Coke, and I'm in my robe. You know, I got a towel over my shoulder. It's after the gig because we were in Minot, and I'm trying to wrestle my Diet Coke out of the machine, and this tall, kind of pale guy in a black T-shirt said, "Let me help you." So we're both hanging out of the same can. I look up and I go, Paul Stanley from Kiss is helping me retrieve my Diet Coke. And then the one or two or three or four times we launched driving off a frozen bear, that was interesting, airborne from frozen. And then all the other stories of which I cannot speak of.
Well, and then talk about every one of those road trips where you hit bad weather.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
15 miles an hour, black ice.
Slipping and sliding.
Yeah, you go 16, you
do.
Rochester to Hibbing. Took how many hours, Bill?
Left at 8, got there at...
Left at 8, got there at 8:45 at night.
And Bemidji to Chisholm. 9 hours.
Yeah. Minot to Marquette, Michigan.
It's part of show
business. 17.
You want the gig, you got to get there.
Yeah. And you know what? And you always did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had one that was scheduled for Red Lake now. And I said, you mean Red Lake, Minnesota, right? I mean, you know, northwestern Minnesota. Oh, yeah. And so anyway, and it was a prom. So anyway, we drive all the way to Red Lake, Minnesota, and they go, no, our prom isn't this week, it's next week. So I go, oh my goodness, I said, there's something wrong here. So I called the Red Lake Indian Reservation. It was the reservation that had booked us, and they had hesitated in saying, no, it was Red Lake, Minnesota. Okay. Oh. So anyway, I said to them, oh, my gosh, I feel just terrible about this. What are we going to do about it? I said, can I come there next week? Of course you can.
Yeah, nice.
We
yeah.
went and did that prom the following week. We've never had so much fun. They were so gracious and so good about it. You know, things like that happen on the road.
They do, and our guys, the men that we played with, they were boys sometimes when we started.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were our greatest backup. They were our greatest defenders. Mm-hmm. They would protect us.
Oh, yeah.
Throw down cover for us.
Yeah.
You never had... It's kind of like being a Marine. Mm-hmm. You're in a kind of a platoon, only you play music.
Oh,
and you have each other's backs.
How about future of the renowns, future of legacy? Can you speak to that?
Well, we're never quitting. I'm going to have to do something really drastic in my life in order for that to happen.
All right.
My kids all know that too. And my kids are all involved in the band. Now I have three sons. They all sing and everything. And now I've got two granddaughters that also sing, and they sing all over the place. So the harmonies just continue, and the band will go on.
And I married the guitar player, so Hostage lives on through legacy, which is me and Bill and Max, our drum machine, and we rock.
All right, very
cool.
There
you go.
Well, let's listen to some of your music. I am going to play a track from Hostage, and then a track from, this was from Hostage's EP, Lorene Couture's band, and with her husband, Bill, and then a track from The Renowns, My Mind's Made Up, the your big hit song. I was listening to both of them on the way up here. You ladies rock, and we're so happy that you're here and still doing it.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Ione. Thank you, Lorene.
Says each hour of his times with you. some hot information. Says he told his times with the year of my waiting. It's the man on the line with the one-eye connection. So we love it, but said he could get an infection. Making my move.
We are back for part two of our interview with Ione Tomasetti and Loreen Couture, and we're just going to talk about some other things in rock. Ione, about the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, yeah. We had Jack Old from MGM Records, and he had also called me about being booked on the Ed Sullivan and show and the Dick Clark Show.
Okay.
But the fellow, this manager of ours, wouldn't sign off on it. So we actually ended up not being able to do it because we couldn't get a hold of anybody, and everybody was afraid of getting into a little trouble in hot water at that time. We were all young.
Was it legal? Ion, was it legalities and stuff?
Yes, it was. Wow, wow. Legalities were involved, and so, I mean, our hands were tied. You know, we were like 17 years old, 16, 17 years old at that time. We didn't know anything about anything like that, nor did we have the money to do anything about it if we had.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right, I had an opportunity a few years back to when reality shows were hitting big. They wanted me to move for 3 months to South Carolina and have a reality show with a bunch of aspiring Janis Joplin imitators. And the show was going to be called String of Pearls. And I was the oldest. You can figure out how that would have gone. This is a child's game, you old bat. Get out of here. I could just hear it. And I didn't want to leave, and so I turned it down, and they said, well, you know, you're never going to get another chance like this until the next chance came. And there's always chances, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
time.
I, with a clear conscience, I turned that one down. I could just see how horrible that was. The winner got to tour Europe with Big Brother.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the holding
company.
Wow. And so I was the oldest that was a Janis Joplin impersonator. And I used to do that live with Hostage, too. We had a medley that he brought the house down.
Yeah,
you just sandwich as much as you can in there.
Yeah.
And Stevie Nicks as well.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that was another, you know, and breaks come and breaks go, as you say with the Ed Sullivan thing. And, you know, we go, okay, maybe should I wonder what that's about. But, like, you picked yourself right back up, didn't you?
It didn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It didn't matter. Yeah. We were happy the way we were.
Mm-hmm. So in rock, you know, women in rock, you know, a door closes, a window opens, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, and just there's always opportunities and everything.
And there are. And, you know, people come and people go into your life. And, you know, you're grateful for all the ones that you've had there because they've added and they've all given something to the band and the group.
And you must have heard from people, we listened to you when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Or
when
we lost our child, you played that song for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're not merely women in rock. No. We're storytellers of people's lives.
Yeah. And that's what we do.
Yeah. And you remember, I'm sure, people that say they'll never forget a gig. And you're like, we were there. I don't really.
I have people who I played for their wedding. Then I played for their children's wedding. And then I played for their grandchildren's wedding.
Well,
now that's a real trip.
There you go. And that's like BJ Gatton is the son of Eric Gatton. And Eric was our sound man. And BJ's playing. We're like, my head's going to blow. You know?
Yeah.
The children of the children of the children if you stay in long enough.
I just had somebody ask me the other day, will you play for my grandchild's wedding? And I go, are you kidding me?
Quantum mechanics. We're never going to fade, right?
Yeah. Lorene, you were talking about being a storyteller. It's like an artist of any kind, you know, you're like coming in and it's just like you're there for the big moments in their life, whether it's that first date or, you know, 21st birthday party or, you know, going out or the wedding or what have you. And it's just, and then you're just doing your thing. You're in rock and roll.
And that's what
you,
each one of these songs stood for. Everyone had their favorite song and we played those songs or wrote those songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it was the feeling of the age. Mm-hmm. And so people could love, go out, drink, find a lover, get married, have kids, start a family, and we're still playing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we sort of became the soundtrack for their lives. And
yes,
I'm sure
that's right.
Yet you were acknowledged of that way more than me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you are. And everybody's lives who you touched, okay, every single one of them always comes up different times, different places, different things, different stories, but always saying, my God, that was so great. It was the best thing we'd ever had.
Yeah.
And you still get recognized out in a restaurant.
Oh,
you'll be eating.
Totally.
Can I ask you something? Just when we think we're out, we get drugged back again. No, it really is.
That's
you get
the
that.
Truth.
It
yeah.
is. It's like, I'm in a Perkins, 150 miles away from anything, and there's somebody that recognizes you. So
yeah. I walked through a nursing home day before yesterday, and this guy is sitting there on a recumbent bike, and he says, I know you.
And in
You're
some
in
ways,
the band.
They, and in some ways, you can never quit. That's why we've never said we've retired as Hostage.
Yeah.
You just don't say that.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thing because people will be like, if you guys quit, the world stops spinning. You know?
Exactly
really
right.
What like the creative process for both of you, like the message of your songs? What is that like? Can you speak to that?
Oh, well, I don't know. for me, it was always the fun. Mm-hmm. The fun behind
same thing.
It.
There is no message except no. Let's play this music, and if you like it, yep. You like it.
And it needed to have a good melody. It needed to have a good beat.
Were you trying to change the world? Because I wasn't.
No. I was just trying to have fun.
We weren't political. We okay. just play, we weren't yeah. we weren't activists.
No, okay. not at
we,
all.
Well, there was no like listen to these words. We were no Bob Dylans.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Bob Dylan, but you know, hey, Dylan's great. I mean, yeah.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, but I mean, yeah. I wasn't that kind of a performer.
Okay. What about your hits and everything like that? Just like, you know, speak to your hits, what it did for you, how it made you feel and everything. And,
well, I think it, well, I can speak for myself here, but I think it made you feel very good about the fact that you'd done something like that. It didn't make you feel important, however. It made you feel like you had given something that people had enjoyed and they were having fun with.
Okay.
That's yeah, yeah. what it meant to yeah, me. Yeah. And they liked to get out there and dance to it. And
yep, and to me it was... You're working so hard
mm-hmm. yep.
that it was just the culmination of the effort
yeah.
that okay. it made the airwaves. It was, and then the record's getting printed, and,
yeah.
and then you're getting to listen to it on the radio. You're and you're driving along, and there's your song.
And the first time you hear it on the radio, you're
bizarre.
Just going,
"Is that me?
Yeah.
What?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but there are messages, I guess, in our lyrics. It was yeah. basically to just keep rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
keep
what
keeping
it was.
On. No, don't quit. Don't
no.
be in despair. And our ballad Visions was actually I likened it to the Challenger accident that happened. We actually played that at a club for that, and everyone was in tears
yeah.
because it's a song of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. and so it would be viable for most things, and that's what a lot of artists do.
Mm-hmm.
They resurface with a hit that is relevant again.
Yeah, and they're yeah. and they're more meaningful to some than others.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're
yeah.
going to have that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what people have to remember today. All the new ones coming up, all the new little entertainers that are coming up yeah. into these bands, they have to remember that it's for fun. It's for fun. And if you give fun, you get fun
yeah,
back.
That's, yep.
And I learned something too, and I learned it in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Not to try to sound like anybody else.
No.
Okay, yeah, oh, that's...
Because
yeah.
it's very tempting, because Ew. Pat Benatar and
yeah.
the
yeah.
Quarter Flash, they yeah. were the bands that were out.
Yeah.
I can sing those songs, but I'm not going to sound like that
you're
in the
gonna,
studio.
Yeah.
I had,
no,
to,
and be
I
you.
Had to be me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
you did, too. I could
yeah.
heard your
yeah.
song. I mean, that's unique.
Yeah, but it's be you.
Yeah. yeah.
I toured Paisley Park recently, and one of the things Prince always... told his band is, hey, listen, we are going to go out there and give them 125%
yeah.
every night, and it's we're if we exude fun, they will get fun, and we will get it back.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
saw
exactly
a band, I think
is.
It was Steppenwolf. We've done lead in for anybody you could name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had a young guitar player,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing Born to Be Wild.
Okay.
And he rolled his eyes in disgust, and I'll never forget that.
Oh no. Oh.
And I thought, if you can't play this like you, it's the first time every time that you've played it,
yeah,
get off the damn stage.
Yeah.
Well, and
okay.
it's like when we used to go into all these talent shows and all this stuff when we were really young,
mm-hmm.
and before we even had the band totally formed, and we were on stage with Bob Dylan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was Bobby Zimmerman
yeah,
at that time.
Sure, 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 yeah, yeah.
He wasn't Bob Dylan
yeah,
at
yeah,
that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he was up there pounding on that piano and da-da-da-da, and he got booed off the stage at the Hippie High School, and you know what? And that wasn't fair, and mm-hmm. I didn't like that. And I went up and I apologized to him. I said, that shouldn't happen. You were doing your thing. It may not have been the thing that everybody enjoyed, but...
And you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, and it just popped in my mind because I was listening to you out in the lobby here with some stories about the need to really look like you are in a band.
Well,
and,
you
and,
are.
And I mean
yeah.
not just a bum walking in off the street, but they should know, you know. And we had matching glitter vests, maybe a green or blue or red or whatever it was.
Always.
But, you know, with me it was leather gauntlets and stage boots and the big hair and
mm-hmm.
the rhinestones
yeah.
and the bustier or whatever it was. And you were red dress girl.
Red dress girl. Little she's sleeveless.
What?
Right there, yeah. And the guys all with the red blazers
you know,
and then... And then when they would wear the blue, they had the blue tuxedos.
You could tell that's the band, right?
That's the band, man.
Well, it's not that way nowadays, and I wish it was in some ways.
It should be, because that's a professionalism that is lost.
Yeah. Well, it's like the days of the supper clubs of old. I remember Dad in his fedora and Mom in her fur, smelling of cologne, and her pretty earrings and her high heel pumps and seam nylons and the waitresses. And it was you dressed. You made a moment. You made something spectacular.
Made an impression.
That's what it was about. I want them to know I was there, and I'll bet you did too.
I wanted them to know that I was the singer in the band. When I walked through the room,
there you go.
They all knew
it. Well, here's
the
thing. We'd show up. There's 300 people already there. You don't get that these days. And they all wanted to see what I was wearing.
Yeah. That's right. And they all wanted to be right there next to you.
That's it, right, too. That is so true. I don't know.
But what can you, both of you, what can you both tell to up-and-coming women musicians that are starting out? What are some advice, ideas, everything?
Do you know what? Just work hard at what you're doing and make sure that you're having fun at it. Because if you're not having fun, you're not going to do a good job at
it.
What I would say is, because this is such an impermanent society, and learn the guitar in one easy step. That isn't going to happen. Patience.
Okay.
Practice. And practice.
It.
And dedication. Yep. And you're not going to get many accolades, and people say they don't like your style, or I heard my sister sing it better, or whatever the heck it is. You keep doing what you're doing. Persevere. And you not only learn the music business, you learn how to be a better adult, a better person, a better involved in the community, or any number of things. I think conquering the music scene, and I believe I am, definitely has, and I gave it my shot too. It's not about being a star.
No.
Okay.
It's about having fun and also
and joining in, and seeing it through.
You had to learn how to play the bass. I had to learn how to play my instrument.
And volunteer.
Sure.
Volunteer all over for everything.
Right. Yeah. Play. If you play for free, play for free. If you play for someone else, play with someone else. Just keep doing it.
Just keep doing
Don't stop, and you will get where you need to be.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's the story.
Very cool. Lorene, Ione, it has been such a pleasure to have you in the studio today, and I have loved hearing your stories and everything, and you both rock. You both rock.
I want to thank Jeff Jarvin, and he's filming this right now, and Liz, thank
you
so much.
Both of you for the great work.
Thank you.
Okay.